Good morning.
Good morning.
This definitely is a day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice, for He has risen.
He has risen.
What makes life worth living? What makes life full of joy? It is the message of Easter. No fooling. Trouble and death do not get the last word. Because He has risen.
He has risen.
So let us worship Him together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We turn our attention to page 3 as we begin with the invocation. Christ Jesus has risen.
He has risen.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Where, O death, is your victory?
Where, O death, is your sin?
The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We worship in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance.
Christ Jesus came into the world, that is sinners, of whom I am the worst.
If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is how God showed his love among us.
He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love.
Not that he loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies.
And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Do you believe this?
Yes.
Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship him.
Please be seated.
A reading from Holy Scripture The Lord God prophesies the joy that awaits God's people thanks to the completed plan of his salvation on our behalf. The words of Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship him.
We join in singing the psalm along with the refrain. The hope we have in Christ is indeed rock solid because Christ has indeed risen from the dead. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship him.
Please stand for the gospel reading. It's taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 16th chapter. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Awesome news indeed. Now is the time to spread this good news. Our Lord tells us through inspiration. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship him.
Please be seated as we turn to our red hymnal once again. For hymn 152, we'll sing the verses as noted there, 1, 3, 4, and 8. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in very great abundance from God our Father, and this possible through our crucified and risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention on these words from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Now there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the big deal about today? Why all the fuss over what can be called Easter details? This Sunday is just like any other day, is it not? Well, yes and no. True, every Sunday should be regarded as a special day, as Sundays present us with a formal opportunity to gather together around the Word of God and offer up praises to God. But what makes this particular Sunday each year special is that it serves as the basis, the reason why all the other Sundays in the calendar year are to be considered special as well. One of the hymns we like to sing captures what makes Easter Sunday so special. and worth all the fuss, together with all the prep that goes into every worship service. As I'm reading these words of the hymn, I would invite you to open up to hymn 399 in the red hymn book. 399. The hymn writer wrote, "To God be the glory, great things he has done. He so loved the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in." Our response to such life-giving news is found in the refrain that goes with that hymn, and I invite you to sing that refrain with me right now. Praise the Lord. Yes, great things he, the Lord God, has done with all people in mind. And at the heart of such is this. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Not only does this message speak to the why, this Sunday and all Sundays are to be regarded as special to us. And we pray such are to countless others as well. It speaks to who is at the center of the why, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great and eternal High Priest. God the Father sent his one and only Son into this world to redeem us. God the Holy Spirit works in us this good news concerning what Jesus has done for us. So all three persons of the Trinity are working together for our salvation. Praise the Lord indeed for his great love shown to us in word and in action. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
There is no God like the God of the Bible. For there is no God that can do what this God, our God by grace, has already done, is doing, and has waiting for us. With no strings attached. This is not just the message for us today, but rather has been the message and encouragement for God's people of all time. At the time of our text, believers were beginning to waffle. Should we go back to the Old Testament requirements, or do we continue to go forward in the fulfillment of those Old Testament requirements and prophecies regarding the Messiah, Jesus Christ? Well, it should have been a no-brainer decision, right, on their part? But we must admit that we too at times waffle with our Christian freedom, as at times we as well can tend to think that our routines and our observances are what make us righteous before God, or what makes such a day like today a special one. When it really is the message. To make the point for believers then and now, God had the writer of the book of Hebrews record this important truth. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The writer is contrasting the old covenant with the new covenant and making the case that the new covenant is indeed superior and better because it is focused and rooted in Jesus, and so also then in grace. The undeniable truth about the old covenant is that the priests had to offer up a whole bunch of sacrifices. Well, what happened to those earthly priests from the family line of Aaron, the brother of Moses? They died. All 83 of them, someone counted, from the time of Aaron to 70 AD, when Jerusalem was crushed as predicted in Matthew chapter 24. Why then stick with something that leads to death when you have something which leads to life staring you right in the face? It was not to be about the animal sacrifices themselves or even the priests. It was always meant to be about the coming Messiah. He would not need to offer up sacrifices first for himself, like the earthly high priests had to do, because they had sin to confess. He would not need to find a year-old lamb without defect, as the earthly priests had to do, for he himself came to be the lamb to be offered up. He would not need to be taken out of the office of priest due to death, but would be and is the priest that would live forever, though for a time he did have to die. This is why it is fitting to refer to Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb, as our great high priest. And he is not just the great high priest for this earthly life. He is such for all eternity. He is not going anywhere, unlike the earthly high priest who had gone before. Think of how many belief systems are subject to change when their leader dies. Why is this? If there was a flaw in the teachings of the former leader, then why were those teachings followed in the first place? With God and the book that he has handed down to us through his prophets and apostles, there is no need to change or update the teachings, for his teachings are valid for all time. The apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 makes this point, this train of thought. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. People who want to say that the Bible is outdated have their own agenda. For when it comes to relevancy, the Bible indeed does not need to take a back seat. The problem then is not with the Bible, but rather with us, who due to our sinful flesh do not want to be called out on the carpet when it says that this or that lifestyle or that thought process is wrong and leads to death. Now, God is all about love, to be sure, but love also includes saying the hard-to-hear things which we need to hear or else. And when it comes to ignoring God, the else does not lead to a Sunday picnic with blue skies. Well, it's a hot day to be sure, but no blue skies and sun. The Bible makes it clear that there is only one way to be spared. The eternal consequence that has come when sin entered into this world. Jesus is that way, for he is the truth and he is the life. He has risen.
He is risen.
It is not through the sacrifices that we make that gets God's attention and or favor. It is only through the sacrifice made by Jesus that has gained God's favor. Hear these words from 1 John chapter 4 to make this very clear. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, our text points out, has saved us completely. That is, no more sacrifices for our sins need to be offered up time and time again. Rather, each time we sin, and who of us can keep count of that fact, we have one to go through for forgiveness. Because each time we sin, Jesus, our mediator, the eternal high priest, taps his Father on the shoulder and says, I paid for that one too. Now, such knowledge is not a license to go and keep on sinning. Rather, such serves as the motivation for us to want to keep our sinning in check. And this we can do by the power the Holy Spirit works in us as you and I stay connected to the Word of God, His means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. Because of Jesus and our call to faith in Him as Lord and Savior in His saving work, we have been put in a position to serve as mediators, as go-between for others. The temple curtain came down on Good Friday. Access to God's throne has been given to us free and clear. Again, not by anything that we have done, but completely by what Jesus has done when He said on the cross, "It is finished." Now we can take our requests on behalf of others to God through Jesus. We can pray for those whose walk is not blameless at this point in time. We can pray that the Lord God keep our own walk blameless in His sight. What power we have been given through the gift of prayer. But keep in mind, prayer is not a means of grace. So let prayer not take precedence over time spent in the Word of God. For as we spend more time in the Word of God, that puts us in a better position to pray, not only for ourselves, but on behalf of others. Thanks to Jesus, our Lord. For He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
So not only is Jesus not going anywhere, unlike the earthly Old Testament priests who died and could not serve in that capacity any longer, it is clear that Jesus is the one who truly has met our greatest need. And what is our greatest need, which needs to be met? Well, it can be found in the opposite of these words which describe our Savior Jesus. Verse 26, such a high priest meets our need. Again, we do have a need for this. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, Aaron and Phinehas and others from the line of Aaron, unlike them, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for His own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when He offered Himself. Jesus is pure. We are not. Sin is behind the terrible things that are taking place in this world. For all sins, great and small, sins that come with a slap on the wrist or come with a life sentence in prison, Jesus went to the cross and declared, "It is finished." Now then, not only is payment for sin, our sin, all sin, met, for sin is our greatest need to be met, which has been satisfied then by Jesus, death, too, is the greatest consequence connected to our sin. Physical death is hard enough to deal with, isn't it? Partly because God did not create us to die, but then came the events that are recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3. Spiritual death came into this world, too. We do not stout out our life on God's good side, do we? Reread Ephesians chapter 2. And if people remain spiritually dead when they die physically, well, that leads to a great tragedy as they will remain dead to God for all eternity. It is a tragedy because life does not need to end that way, does it? Easter Sunday is the reminder of why it doesn't have to. John 3:16 spells out this truth very clearly and simply. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is what God wants for all people, and He has made it possible even. And how does the majority of the world respond? Many are more excited of having their children sit on the Easter bunny's lap than they are at the feet of Jesus. Many treat this day just like any other day on the calendar. Many continue to look to themselves as the way to solve life's main problem of sin. Now, we have many problems in the world, to be sure. But sin is the reason why. And when we do not squash sin with Jesus, well, we are living with the results every day. A pastor of a different church has been quoted to say, "We have so many social problems in this world to deal with that we cannot take time to think about heaven." Tragic. How can we properly deal with the problems of this world if we do not have heaven in the mix? Earthly problems in general are not going away, but the people who have earthly problems will. So what are we doing to prepare them for that time? This is what makes today special, for we have something lasting to offer people in addition to earthly help in their personal earthly problems. For those earthly problems are temporary. But what comes after is for eternity. Jesus has met our greatest need, to be sure. And he then is able to meet all our needs. Now, this does not mean that all problems will go away or that we won't have problems. But those problems do not need to keep us from looking forward to the life that the Lord God has won for us. To that one day when we are receiving the life we all need and are able to receive through Jesus, our great and eternal high priest. All possible, again, because he has risen.
He has risen indeed.
This is why today is so special and sets the tone not only for every Sunday, but for every day of our life here on earth. He lives triumphant from the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. And to this, all God's people say,
amen.
He has risen. Let's continue with the singing of hymn 406.
Thank you.
We pray the prayer of the church with the beautiful music in the background. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost. Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints, and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people, standing before your throne and singing the song of victory. Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures.
Merciful Lord, live in us that we may live for you.
Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. For those able to celebrate a birthday this week, refresh them in body and soul, for life is a gift from you, a gift to be celebrated. And renew those privileged to celebrate a wedding anniversary. Deepen the couple's love for each other and for you. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say,
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Serving in peace and joy, we are.
We continue with hymn 154. Please stand for prayer and for the closing hymn. We pray, Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people.
So that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace.
Live in harmony with one another.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us worship.
Thank you.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Still is. Just to highlight a few things, thank you to our musicians today, and also then thank you to those who helped decorate the church, and to all the weekend volunteers, a huge big thank you. Appreciate all that you do. And for those who put together the brunch this morning, a huge thank you. It's held in the gym, so you're invited there, or the ministry auditorium, whatever you want to call it. It's a place that God has given to us where we can have such great fellowship, including on this great Easter day. And also then I direct your attention to the weekly news for this week, as it has key information about calls that are coming up, as well as Bible study for next week and then the weeks after, as well as the Auto Museum tour that's scheduled for next Sunday, and a whole plethora of good information to add to your own schedules and calendars and things to do. So God bless you today and every day as we serve to be His witnesses of the true fact that He has risen.
Yes.